The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
It's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I started with a regular season college football game from 1985. It ended with a question. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, live from SEC Media Days 2021. We are in Hoover, Alabama at the Hyatt Winfrey again, talking to all the coaches, all the players, and said, oh, is that just marketing? Is that just you pitching things? You're talking to all the coaches? No. Yesterday, Ed Orgeron at the table, Dan Mullen at the table, Shane Beamer at the table. We had players, media experts. We'll be bringing you all of that throughout the day. The schedule of media days, it always determines who actually is going to be live. Sometimes when the coaches come through, it'll work out that way. But yesterday, again, I think Mullen came by. I'd been off the air for like 4 hours. And so stayed here, and he came back by on the second pass, and I got to sit down and have a real nice conversation with him. I thought we were going to, and we had him booked and all that. So we'll bring you Shane Beamer. We will bring you Ed Orgeron. We'll bring you Dan Mullen. We got a whole lot to bring you, as well as my question. And I'll skip the reason, okay, but I had some very good ones. And last night I was watching the 1985 Iowa-Michigan game. Chuck, what in the world? Why would you watch such a random, nondescript game? It wasn't a random, nondescript game. 1985 Iowa-Michigan took place middle of October. Both teams were undefeated. Okay, well, it's still just a conference game, but why did you watch that game? Because in addition to being undefeated, it was number one Iowa versus number two Michigan. And it was at Iowa. And I remember it was being pitched as the – and I was just a kid in high school, so I'd never heard this term before, but Iowa had Chuck Long at quarterback. And he wound up as the Heisman Trophy runner-up that year. Was a first-round pick, played in the league for a while. And Iowa could score. Man, they would run it up. Now, it was mid-80s, so it was a bunch of play action and then deep passes. That's how you lit it up in 1985. But, boy, they did it. And they were playing number two Michigan. Michigan's defense, I mean, brick wall. No way to score. It was pitched as the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. And I was like, ooh, that's like a freight train and then like a granite mountain. What's going to give? Well, Iowa, the great offense. Michigan, the immovable object. Iowa moved Michigan enough to kick four field goals. Won the game 12-10. And there were licks passed for 60 minutes like you ain't seen in college football in 10 years. So I watched that game and, you know, fast forward, and I knew where the highlights were and all that. It was a 12-10 final. I knew where the highlights were. Every single series, and I would watch it. I'm sorry. I would watch at least a series, not maybe a possession. I'd watch a series. There's licks being passed in every one of them. I started just picking random bowl games from the 80s, then some regular season games into the 90s. I never went more than a full possession. I never went more than one full possession until I would see three players who would get ejected from today's game. Targeting, low hits on the quarterback, defensive players, just brutal. So I'm watching this, and literally my question, I was like, were we animals? Because I couldn't get enough of it. And we could, Monday Night Football, highest rated program of the entire year on a regular basis. Of course, the Super Bowl still is, but it's not about the game anymore. And so, yeah, I asked the question, I was like, were we just animals? I'll answer. Yeah, we were animals. Absolutely. Folks, Go watch that Iowa-Michigan game. You can YouTube your computer or pick any game, NFL, college, whatever. Go watch Lawrence Taylor highlights. He played the decade of the 80s. Bobby Hebert, good friend of mine, played quarterback for the Saints. They had spent a first-round pick on a left tackle. And I think it was Will Wolford, maybe. I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't want to give the guy's name. But they'd spent a first-round pick on a left tackle. Guy came back to the huddle crying. He's like, I can't stop him. I don't know what to do. Grown man, starting left tackle in the NFL, crying in the huddle to the quarterback. I can't stop him. Go watch some LT highlights. Folks, that was gladiator stuff. Like, all that was missing was like a tiger on a chain at the 50. Or like a chariot comes out of the tunnel when your guy's about to cross the goal line. I've said before, that, and I'll reiterate now, man. And like I said, there were 8 good reasons I had to see that specific game last night, and I never even got to the points I was trying to kind of drill down on. I will reiterate this now. There is nothing less entertaining to a sports fan than watching a bunch of people stand around wearing headsets waiting for a replay rolling. I have said, I don't care what the sport. Get rid of every challenge, every review, every sport, except targeting. It is a totally different game, and it needs to be. I'm going to tell you, you go back. I've said returning punts is about the last dangerous thing on a regular basis in football. It is the most – after playing quarterback, in fact, returning punts – is the most difficult skill on a football field. You almost need to be like a center fielder, like, you know, hopping on a different part of your feet than a normal football player. You think about a kickoff, for instance. What does almost every kickoff do? It goes between 60 and 65 yards, and it's pretty much down the middle. What about a punt? What's a typical punt? It might be 30 yards. It might be 65. It could be to the sidelines. It could be a missile about 12 feet off. You have no idea. And then you get the knuckleball that's about 38 yards downfield, and you're standing there watching that thing flip, and you can hear the cleats coming down on you. There is nothing more dangerous still left in the game of football on a regular basis than returning punts, and that's good. How kids got through, like, you earned your scholarship, brother. If you played wide receiver in college in the 80s and the 90s, you earned your scholarship. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back straight back to SEC Media Days 2021. That's next with Chuck Oliver.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I believe both of those guys, Max and Miles, are both championship quarterbacks. They both proved that they can win at LSU. It's too bad, you know, quarterback position, you played it in one place. Let the best man win.
Ed Ogeron, head coach of them Bayou Bengals, here at SEC Media Days yesterday. And I will give him credit. I was wondering how it was going to go. There are two ways to go about this when maybe you got a little bit of the heat to you. And he really may be one of the only coaches, at least in July. He may be the only coach in the entire conference with a little heat on him. You know, Kirby, can you get to the playoffs? Can you win a national championship? Like, let's put that in perspective. Isn't that pretty high cotton for a guy? If the, quote, demand is, hey, you better be in the playoffs. Well, all right, life's pretty good, I think. Ed Orgeron, he wishes those were the questions. Now, the real kick in the pants for him is that kind of is for LSU. And they've got to navigate the Aggies now. That's a little bit more of a permanent landmine. And then also, of course, Bama. But it's the questions about the off-field stuff. There are two ways. You can either go Hugh Freeze and filibuster and try to run out the clock, or Ed Orgeron went charm offensive yesterday. He showed up early, did half a radio row, went up, did all his media interviews, did all that stuff. The obligations upstairs, came back down. He stood in the middle. Anybody not get Coach O? All right, I'm ready. So, like I said, it was the charm offensive. I'm going to be out there, and I'm going to try to be as positive as possible. Now, that's him talking about the quarterback competition there at LSU, and that's a legitimate one. It's manufactured. It's invented because it gives us something. You know, will T.J. Finley beat out Bo Nix? Well, no, I don't think so. T.J. Finley will take snaps in practice, and Bo Nix will finally have another guy he looks at and goes, okay, he can probably play in the league. But Bo Nix is the starter. That was true last year. It was true the day T.J. Finley announced it. And barring an injury, it's going to be true week one. That's not true in Baton Rouge. And I think they have two right answers there. I really do. They're different right answers. But, Dan, you jump in. Talk about Orgeron and his sort of method yesterday. He went the other way. He was like, I'm going to be as accessible as I can be to everyone.
Well, you know what it almost kind of sounds like to me is, remember, I believe it was last year when we had Chris Landry on for one of our weekly visits. He said, oh, is the consummate positive person that he could be on the deck of the Titanic as it's sinking and tell the guys, hey, it's going to be a little brisk, but we're going for a swim. I mean, that's kind of who he is, and we kind of saw that on full display yesterday. But in terms of the quarterbacks, though, I mean, he's not wrong in terms of the belief in both guys, because there's no doubt that, let's just take Miles Brennan for example. He won the team over when it came out afterwards. He played the entire second half against Missouri with a torn abdominal muscle. Imagine how many defensive linemen are real tough guys on that team, Chuck, that look at him and say, torn abdominal muscle? Man, that's toughness. I can't believe you did that. You're our guy if you're back. And he never came back. But then Max Johnson, I know that, I can't remember who said it on here, but they were like, things would be a little bit different if they didn't win that game at Florida and then the game against Ole Miss. The problem is they did. And not only did they do it, he was impressive in both of those games. So
he was not along for the ride.
No.
That wasn't the case.
Well, remember, too, the example that I have in terms of the belief in him from the coaching staff was him with his heels on the opposing end zone there at Florida. And they're throwing the ball instead of, hey, let's just take it easy here. Let's give the guys some breathing room. No,
they said threw him off the high dive.
Yeah, yeah. It truly was sink or swim. It was the lifeguard test there. I don't know if you ever went through lifeguard training, but where you had
junior
to
– lifesaver, thank you. I got certificates.
Yeah, you had to tread with the brick, and then they added another brick to make sure that you could do that. That's absolutely what he was doing last year in the swamp.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I'm wondering if with a more consistent and productive ground game, and I'm wondering about the fact that if Boutte, week 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 instead of a little later in the season, it's going to be an entirely different landscape for whoever that's starting. Even if it's Miles Brennan, than maybe at times as you went through the season last year. When you started the season last year, you're looking around going, I got this player, this potential All-American, and then guys started dropping. And Miles Brennan was one of them. Later on in the season, that gave Boutte a chance and obviously really exploded and turned into the player he is. And he went from a guy that was a big-time recruit to he's preseason, all-conference. At least he is on my ballot. So it's going to be a different environment than maybe like halfway through last season. In fact, go to the 3-5 mark. Going into that UF game, based on what you thought it would be a year from now, It's entirely different. I'm feeling better about the ground game. You know, we talked to Matt Moscona yesterday. They got a couple of freshman running backs, especially Armani Goodwin. He is a fun-looking player who I think that they're going to find some sort of role with, at least for four games this year, and just other options. And so I think the offense is going to look a little different. But on the other side, I mean, they've got five different guys who may say, I'm going to take advantage as the definite two to Boutte. Five different options over there, six different options. They put freshmen out there, Trey Palmer, whoever it is. They're going to find answers over there and for the two and the three. So I'm really excited and kind of bullish about all of it. All right, we did talk to Dan Mullen, the head Gator, yesterday. Man at UF sat down with us here at SEC Media Days. Here is that interview. SEC Media Days 2021 live at the Hyatt Winfrey, Hoover, Alabama. Chuck Oliver Show, 9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out 2 hours a day. And we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Florida Gators. It is Dan Mullen. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you guys? You excited? This kind of the excitement, a little feel of maybe the first normalcy for everybody maybe in a little while getting back here. And I know they don't have the fans in here today with the craziness that way, but it's pretty cool.
Do you miss any of the circus?
You know, I don't mind
the stuff
that.
In the lobby.
None of that stuff. I love the excitement and the passion of college football. So I think it's kind of crazy, but I love the excitement and energy and passion of college football. So that never bothered me. So I don't know that I miss it. Because I'd always stop and sign autographs, and you almost always would feel, instead of like the 30 you signed, everybody's grateful, it's the 100 you didn't, that they're looking at you like, you SOB, you know, like
the plane's leaving, we gotta go, I gotta go now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about on the field this year, and I think maybe just by chance I've seen every snap Emory has taken in a game. You've seen in a game, practice, yeah, offseason, all that stuff. How relevant is what we saw him doing in games to what he'll be asked to do this year?
It'll be similar, maybe even more. You know, I mean, obviously he's going to be more because he's now, if he's the guy. But you're looking at a guy now that, you know, the only stat that he does not have the big number on is starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's got a lot of attempts, completions, yards, touchdowns, carries, rushing yards, touchdowns. Played he's played in three Florida Georgia games already. You know, and none of them have had a cleanup time minute, you know, in those years that we've really been in it, and he's played in three. So he has that experience. He's been in big moments. He's played in a lot of big games. He's come in there with packages and come in and had to run the offense on his own because of injuries. So I think it's, you know, for a guy that hasn't played a lot or not started, he's a veteran guy.
And I wanted to ask you about one situation in particular because of what you just said there. I think it was maybe the Auburn game in 19. Is that when Kyle got hurt?
Got hurt and he had to come in.
I was like, my God, they tore his knee off.
Yeah.
Emory was in, and it looked to me like you were like, we're rolling, man.
You know, you can look at the philosophy and say, hey, our guys, through four quarters, I like to keep them fresh. Through a season, I like to keep them healthy. And we roll guys through, and then it creates depth and experience on the roster. We were able to do that. Running back position a bunch last year. Now, that's one where we're deep, where we have a bunch of guys back. So, you know, hey, how do we put more than one running back on the field at a time? How do we teach somebody? You know, you might see Naquan in a slot some and Malik Davis in the slot doing some of that stuff for us this year to utilize the players as best as possible. I've never been this is our offense. That's all we ever do. How do we fit? You know, we use about 60% of our offense mm-hmm. in a given year, and what fits that group and that team.
Wrapping up with Dan Mulligan, UF head coach at SEC Media Days 2021. DeMarcus Bowman, I think you gave everybody some news today. Was that news to you? He's eligible. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, under the new rule, I haven't figured it out, but under the new rule, he'd be eligible.
He gets the retroactive whatever, so he's in.
Yeah, the retros. That's my understanding of it. I never asked, but he's eligible.
I've been told he may be as fast as anybody on the roster. And
he's
that's
quick.
Something when you talk about UF.
You know, one of the hard ones he dealt with, he got banged up a little bit in spring halfway through. So, you know, I mean, he's still learning the system. But he's another guy we're going to find a way to get the ball in his hands. You give me good players, we'll find a way to put the ball in their hands, right? That's what we, you know, like everyone, I think the funny one is, if we had media days last year, everybody would be like, okay, you just sent four wide receivers to the NFL. How are you going to replace
four
receivers to the NFL? And then now this year is, okay, boy, you just sent two first-round, a tight end first-round, a wide receiver first-round, and a quarterback second-round. How are you going to replace them? But the same way, we've rotated those guys. So there's guys that have experience. Now, I mean, I never ask somebody to be, we'll be different. We're not going to have everyone's like, boy, your tight end's going to be like Kyle Pitts. Well, in 150 years of college football, there's been like one. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, he's the highest ranked guy in the history of college football. So I don't, there's the one. So, I mean, but we're, the funny one is if you combine Keon Zipper and Kamori Gamble's stats from last year, they probably were second in the SEC behind Kyle Pitts' number. So we'll still utilize those guys a little differently.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you making some time today. I know you're
Absolutely.
Busy. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
Good to see y'all. Have a great day.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Live from Hoover, Alabama, SEC Media Days 2021. I've told you, it brings perspective to that phrase, hey man, good to see you. It really is good to see everybody here, and that includes the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. It is Greg Sankey. How you doing, man?
I'm well, and we have found over time as we've brought people back into in-person meetings, they're always happy because it was a long journey. We were meeting when we stopped everything,
yeah.
And then we couldn't meet. So to see people is a joy, actually.
Okay, have you ever been to ACC Media Days for any reason?
No.
Okay, I have compared the two, and I was like, give me Birmingham, man. I like the zoo, the circus. Now, don't get offended. I was like, SEC Media Days, it's like Bud Light in cans. I was like, the ACC's brown liquor in a canter. I was like, give me the can of beer, you know, it's fun.
I'll take whatever I can get, yeah.
But I got to say, moving all that outside, I think it has made the coaches and players and everybody so much more comfortable with the environment. And, again, that's just my observation. I had the most access of any day I've ever had yesterday. I got all three coaches, every player, everybody.
Good. Well, that's good to know, and it is different. But we were just talking as I came down the escalator that it's different, but it's a good different. I mean, literally a healthy different.
Yeah, and it needed to be different this year. Yeah. I read your comments following the NC State World Series exit. I saw your comments yesterday. I want to make sure I do understand. You are obviously concerned about the health, safety, well-being, ability to compete, you know, safely, all of that with the student-athletes, but you're not really interested in hearing from a bunch of ADs this year on a Thursday or Friday that we've got testing issues. Is that correct?
That's a description. I'll turn it and say I want the effort, which is going on now, to avoid those calls. And let's be healthy. So if you're going to go through off-season conditioning, weight training, spring practice, preseason practice, all this preparation to play, you want to play. And the reality right now is the vaccine will help us play without disruption. Now, you look at North Carolina State, you got a mix of some vaccinated, some unvaccinated. Yep. But that highlights the value of the entire team being vaccinated and protecting themselves through the same sort of, you know, hey, be careful about gathering, distance, you know, acting foolishly, because we have managed through a COVID environment. We know how to do that, but we don't have control of the COVID reality right now. And we have to be smart about how we function. And no, I don't want to go through another, you know, living all day Friday wondering if I'm going to get a phone call that a game cannot be played.
I am not going to try to box you into a corner and, you know, get you officially on the record. It's just a conversation. What I immediately thought yesterday is if we're not going to have postponements, reschedules, et cetera, it's no contest forfeit, whatever it is. Like, it's a game, and one team couldn't play, so we're not playing it. This is a league. I mean, literally every single Saturday there are marquee matchups, whether it's Iron Bowl or anything in Baton Rouge, Jacksonville, whatever. If it's one of those games, we start talking about screwing around with TV inventory and network partners and all that, and that's why we got rid of TV bans in the 80s for recruitment violations. That's a scenario to consider, though.
Oh, yeah, but we had, you know, last year we had to work in advance through a reduced schedule because we lost a significant number of games. When we moved away from non-conference games, you start with the number, there's four per school, that's 56. They're not all home games, you reduce that, but we lost, you know, easily 40-plus home games as part of our TV agreements. And credit to Mark Womack and our staff, Charlie Hussey, our legal team that's housed in Charlotte with CBS and with ESPN, to adjust to that reality. And, you know, the one of the false narratives last year was, oh, they have to play to get the money. People don't know what our agreements provide. And so we were pretty secure in our decision-making because the young people on our teams wanted to play. And I'll come back that part of that avoiding disruption is, why are you going to do all the work and not put yourself in the best possible position to play every week? I mean, it's counterintuitive, really. And that's where education and information and not listening to, like, the neighbor down the street who says, oh, it's got, you know, this in it or that. And go to the doctors and go to the scientists and bet it on our campus and ask them real questions. This is an adult decision. I get it. I've been vaxxed. I got fully vaccinated as soon as I could within the state of Alabama policy. You know, life goes on.
Chuck Oliver Show continues live from Birmingham, SEC Media Days 2021, talking with the commissioner, man, head honcho of the SEC. I have always said when, you know, I considered the BCS a two-team playoff, and the SEC was about the surest bet to get into the two-team playoff, certainly after Auburn took the bullet in 04.
Right.
Atlanta became a play-in game almost. When they've expanded to four, the SEC will always get one out of four, maybe two out of four. So is 4 better for the SEC or is 12 better for the SEC?
Depends on one's perspective. We were charged, so I was on a working group. Let's put our conference hat aside and think about big picture football. So one of the problems, I think, in college football is it is a national sport. That's our expectation. But the West Coast hasn't been in the playoff in 3-plus yeah. years. That's not good overall for college football, but that shouldn't dictate our reality. On the other side, last year, you would have had, in a 12-team playoff, Alabama and Florida and Georgia and Texas A&M. That's not bad for the SEC. And they played games, and then how those games play out, I don't know. That, yep, it's more wear and tear, it's more games, and that's a stress point that may be disruptive to this idea moving forward. I believe it can be very good for the Southeastern Conference, and it can allow others to come in, which I think is good for the game of football. The more access you have in November, for example, you know, if you had a loss early, you know, your fan base walking away, well, we're not going to win the national championship, we're not going to be in the playoff. That's not good for college football. And the expansion allows more teams for a longer period of time to have the opportunity to reach national championship competition. And I think overall that's healthy. But we can say it 4. I'm fine with staying at 4. I'm the one who will stand up and say, you know what, if you're not happy with 12, we can just stay at 4.
Oh, I wanted to go back to 2, but I wasn't asked. wrapping up with the commissioner, and you talk about name, image, and likeness, and it was supposed to be Y2K, planes falling out of the sky, river of fire. I mean, it's supposed to be all this stuff. I think after about the first 3 or 4 days, it just turned into some amusing sort of, like, you know, the barbecue restaurant that signed the Hogs offensive line.
Right.
It turns out to be, so far, not that big a deal.
Well, there are issues. And I would start if you'd look at the world through the eyes of a 17-year-old high school senior who has opportunities to go to 15 different universities in 15 different states. That person has to understand 15 different name, image, and likeness laws if they're evaluating what their life will be like. That's not fair to a 17-year-old and their family to figure that out. We need a national standard. And the courts have said the NCAA cannot overregulate. The states have taken the lead and created their own legislation.
The NCAA even said, hey, we're out.
Well, but they were told.
Yeah.
I mean, they were told by the result of the Supreme Court case in Alston versus the NCAA. And so that's where congressional action has meaning. And that's just one layer. So a young person having the ability to say, if I want to attend university in Wyoming, in New Hampshire, in Georgia, in Texas, I just have to worry about one set of approach to names like this. That's one. Two, we have relied on the two sides lining up against each other having some basic expectations. And I still think that's enormously healthy for college football, but the NCAA can't regulate that. And I understand the difficulty because Congress has a lot on its plate. There's a lot. They're spending trillions, not millions, not billions, trillions. And they're debating political issues, you know, how are we going to go in election law in this country? I get all of that. And by comparison, college name, image, and likeness seems a small issue. Yet, college sports has an important role in our society. I talked about Olympics and Olympic development. We are the Olympic development and support program in this country. Not federally funded camps and programs like other countries have. Not, hey, go figure it out in your local club. Our universities provide that. There's a lot of reasons that we should be attentive to protecting and supporting college sports and recognizing what we do really well. Part of what I've seen in this political debate is simply criticism. Inaccurate criticism at times. And we should be criticized because we're not perfect. And if we're going to craft a solution, let's look at what's being done right. But we do need a uniform name, image, and likeness standard. Now, if we don't have it, we'll see if Y2K, you know, shows its ugly head because, things have happened now that you look at and say, I don't think that's really what people expected. That's not who we should be. The deal with the offensive lineman and the barbecue joint, that's exactly what we thought. Olivia Dunn, a gymnast at LSU. We thought that. Fresno State basketball twins. We saw that happening. They're
maybe not a gym owner saying every scholarship player who comes to this school gets $6,000.
Yeah, that's a little bit different than perhaps what expected. But apparently it's within the Florida State law. And that's where we have to take a step back and say, well, what is it that we expect?
Well, Commissioner, I always appreciate your time. I know, man, you're going up hither and yon, all down Radio Row, talking with everybody. It's very generous, your time. Thanks for coming by, man.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. And it's good to, like, actually not be looking at a video screen with someone.
Yeah, I don't have to. Am I muted? No, we're just talking and I hear it. Brother, I appreciate your time. Thanks as
take
always.
Care,
we're going to take a break. Come back live from Birmingham next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
K-9-5.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Been dealing it out 2 hours a day since the beginning of the 14 season. I appreciate y'all putting that blessing in my life. If we could DeLorean back a year ago, the only announcement we were getting from our following guest, it was disappointment. It was August 5th last year, and we got the word, all three Chick-fil-A kickoff games banged, gone, off the schedule, and they would not be made up. I want to welcome on now. Oh, you talk about what a difference a year makes. President, CEO, master of all he surveys when it comes to the Chick-fil-A Bowl and the kickoff game, it is Gary Stokin. Gary, how are you, man?
Chuck, man, it's just so good to be with you talking college football in person and thinking about having 100% capacities for our Chick-fil-A kickoff games. I told somebody at another station, I said, you know, in Atlanta last year we lost, obviously, perspective. There were a lot of people lost their lives, so we're
in
tremendously sorry for that, but yeah. We lost the rights to put on the NCAA Final Four, SEC Media Days, three Chick-fil-A kickoff games within a week. And now we're back. Hopefully we can get the SEC Media back next year. And now having two Chick-fil-A kickoff games and the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at 100%, it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, with Alabama and Miami, it's going to hit 100%. Got Louisville and Ole Miss, I believe, a couple nights later. And that's that Labor Day night game that the ACC's kind of planted that flag on. And y'all snagged that one a couple. Tennessee, Georgia Tech was one of those. Let's talk about the most recent announcement. It was Tennessee and Syracuse. And, I mean, you and I have known each other long enough. I was candid. I was like, that's not Florida State, Bama. And whenever I ask you about the game, I'm like, when are you going to get Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, Texas? You're like, we make all those calls and we'll get around to them. The environment has changed a little bit for drawing those teams week one. We saw about 2 years ago the future announcements started being a lot of home and homes.
Right. Yeah, I think what the ADs are doing, two things, Chuck. One is they think there's expansion coming. So what they're saying is, okay, let's schedule home and homes, big home and home non-conference games, because if we lose a conference game and lose a good non-conference game, Georgia lose to Oklahoma or, you know, whatever, that game will go down with Oklahoma having a good year as a good loss rather than a bad loss. It'll be a good loss. If they have two losses, one non-conference, one conference, they feel like they can still get into a 12-team playoff as an at-large slot. Secondly, they're doing it because you have to keep your home season relevant enough for your season ticket base. Because, number one, those are season ticket revenues. Those are donor revenues. Those are merchandise revenues. All the trickle down from that.
And
by
the way, if
you lose that season ticket base, you lose all those revenues.
Yeah, that chorus has been in Athens, Tuscaloosa. I mean, some of the biggest places are like, you got to give me something at home.
That's exactly right. So, and we think that in some ways we've changed the face of college football on the front side of the season, because prior to us starting that kickoff game in 08, people were playing non-directional schools. Not to denigrate them, but the score was 55-0 at halftime. People are sitting in 104-degree temperature. And now that game's on TV, so I can sit in my air conditioning and watch that game on TV, and I don't need to spend the money on season tickets to go see those non-conference win games, so to speak. But when you're playing a top-10 team like Alabama and Miami, two top-10 teams, that changes the rationale of ADs and how they look at things. It's changed. It's been elevated with the CFP selection committee saying you have to play in these games if you want to get into the Final Four. And so now I think with the potential expansion, I think those games will continue. So it's going to get tougher and tougher to put on Chick-fil-A kickoff games. We're blessed. We're out through 2025. Think about it. This year, there's four big college football games in Mercedes-Benz Stadium that seven of the eight teams playing in those will be in the top 25. Next year, with our two Chick-fil-A kickoff games with Georgia-Oregon, two top 10 teams.
A monster game, man.
You got Clemson-Georgia Tech. Clemson will be top 10. We're going to host the semifinal of the CFP, number one against number four, two against number three, two top 10 teams. And then the SEC championship game will be two top 10 teams. So Next year, 7 of the 8 teams playing in those 4 games will be top 10. Think about the fans in college football in Atlanta being able to go to those games. And this year, 7 of those 8 teams are going to be in the top 25.
You got any updated figure? I mean, Gen Pop can buy tickets to the game. Still available for both games as the Bama crowd.
We just opened up expandable seats in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the Alabama-Miami game.
Oh, that means all
literally
the other seats.
Just did that today.
That means the other seats are gone.
They're gone.
That's outstanding.
This is going to be one of the toughest tickets we've ever had, the Alabama-Miami game.
What outstanding news for you, the game, everybody, the two teams, City of Atlanta, all of that stuff. All right, well, let's go backwards a little bit because I talked to you before you came on. I was like, Gary, I've known you so long, and it's almost like Forrest Gump. Like, I have heard people throw out something, and Gary was like, oh, yeah, I was there for that. I did. Oh, yeah, I was part of that meeting. I said something about Herschel Walker and Adidas, and you're like, oh, yeah, I was in the hotel room. Tell me the Herschel Walker. Tell everybody on the air the Herschel Walker story.
Well, Herschel's a good personal friend. He's a great guy. He may be as good a person as he was a football player. He's that good a guy. I saw Herschel play his first game. I think it was Texas A&M when he was a freshman. And I said, I've got to get this guy wearing Adidas. Vince Dooley was being paid by Nike. And I got Herschel in his sophomore year. He had run track his freshman year. Louis Gainey was the track coach. I got Louis Gainey in Adidas. Herschel was wearing with Mel Latney, who was a great sprinter as well. They were both wearing Adidas in their track season. He runs track in Europe in his freshman year. And who he went over with, I had them get Herschel to the German factory at Adidas when he was in Europe running track. Take a mold of his foot, make him special gripper shoes for AstroTurf, which are the shoes he wore in the Tennessee game and ran over Bill Bates his sophomore year or his freshman year, whenever it was. But we had him make shoes, and Herschel signed the shoes, the tongue of the shoes. I'll tell you two good stories. One is I get the shoes from Europe. I'm driving down. I lived in Stone Mountain in 1980. I'm driving down to Athens, and I'm speeding. And state cop pulls me over, and says, comes up to the car, says, boy, where are you going so fast? I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but I got shoes for Herschel Walker in my trunk that I got to get down to they're getting ready to go on the road or whatever they're getting ready to do. He looks at me and he looks at my trunk and he says, fast as you were going, boy, you better show me those Adidas shoes. So it wouldn't happen nowadays. It wouldn't let you out of the car. He let me out of the car, go back to the trunk, open the trunk, and there's 6 pair of blue box Adidas shoes, and I pull them out and I show him the autograph of Herschel Walker on the shoes. He looks at those shoes. He looks at me. I thought he was going to say, I'll give you a blue light down to Athens.
That's to say, run the
he
blues.
He says, boy, you get your ass down to Georgia quick as you can. And I went off speeding again. Then I get down there.
That's called home cooking, by the way.
That's right. I get down there, and I give Mr. Beavers, who since passed away, the equipment manager, some shoes. And I go over to Herschel's apartment and give Herschel some shoes. And Herschel wears the shoes at practice. I get a call. Back then we had answering services, right? Answering machines. I get a call, and I don't do a great Vince Dooley, but it was on my answering service when I got home to Stone Mountain that day. Gary, how'd you like to come down to practice tomorrow? We'll meet right outside the practice facility after practice. It was Vince Dooley. I go down the next day, and Vince and I meet after. He says, Gary, which I thought was very classy of Vince. He said, Gary, I don't care if Herschel wears Adidas. Now, Vince is getting paid by Nike.
Yeah.
But I don't want Herschel treated any differently than any other player. He says, so if you can get the autographs off the shoes. So I call over to Germany. They took the autographs off the shoes, sent me some new shoes. I take them down, and Herschel wore those shoes. He wore Adidas, and Vince was getting paid by Nike. I tried to get your boy, Buck, to wear Adidas. And Buck was such a big Joe Willie Namath fan.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Willie was wearing Pumas at the Jets.
Ralph Sampson had me wearing Pumas, by the way.
So. Well, I'll tell you the Ralph Sampson story.
So, anyway, so he takes the autograph off the shoes.
So he takes the autograph off the shoes, and Herschel was wearing Adidas the whole year.
It's fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Then I signed him when he went pro.
Yeah, next time you sit down, like you talk about the ultimate tease that may be before the bowl game or whatever, we're going to have you on, and I'm going to tease for like 4 months from now.
We'll tell that
Herschel Walker New Orleans hotel room story that wound up with him in the USFL. Smoking Gary Stokin, president, CEO, Chick-fil-A.
Great to be with you, Chuck.
Appreciate it
as always, congratulations on everything you're doing, and thanks for what you do for college football.
Oh, Gary, I appreciate that so much, folks. And, again, I guess the extra seating now available for Alabama, Miami, and then Louisville, Ole Miss just a couple of nights later.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey, everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.